The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and the children would come forward.
Good morning, children.
By show of hands, how many of you have seen the movie Zootopia? Right, we've all seen it. It's all about Judy Hopps. She plays a detective in the city of Zootopia. Before there was ever Zootopia was ever a thing, there was two other detectives in the animal kingdom who were solving crimes on behalf of animals. It was these two. In my left hand is my friend Chip, and in my right hand is my friend Dale. Chip and Dale, as a lot of shows were in the 90s, they were attached to a television show. So these two would not stay in my toy box. Put them away, put my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles away, put my Power Rangers away, and 3 o'clock after school, I'd go over to my cousin's house, and it'd be time to watch Power Rangers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and the Rescue Rangers. The Rescue Rangers were probably my favorite because these two were detectives, and their motto was, "No crime is too small." So if an animal lost their jewelry, if an animal's cousin had been kidnapped, you'd call these two and they would solve the crime. These two are especially my friends because they just weren't toys that I played with in my room. I got to see their day-to-day life on their TV show. It was a really awesome experience. If you would like to see their TV show, if you have Disney Plus, just type in Rescue Rangers and they should pop up. Now, the reason why we're talking about friends and I bring to you my two friends is because friends do things together. Friends hang out together. Friends eat together. And as Pastor Suggs had said today, in today's gospel, we see Jesus talking to his disciples. And Jesus says in verse 15, "I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing." Which is true. If you have a servant, you just tell him, "Go clean that up. Go make me this food. Go pick up my kid. Go pick up my clothes. Do this. Do that." And if you're a servant, you don't ask questions. You just go and do it. But Jesus says, "Today, my friends, you are no longer servants, but I'm going to call you my friends, because everything that I have made known to you is everything that I have heard from my Father." So, like Chip and Dale would do, let's think about it. We have a case to solve. What did Jesus tell Matthew? What did he tell John and Peter and Simon? What did he tell James and Andrew? What was the one thing Jesus was doing for them? Oh, if you were sick, Jesus would say, "You're healed." If you were blind, Jesus would restore your eyesight. If you could not talk, Jesus would restore your speech. If you were dead, Jesus would say, "Get up, arise, and go and walk." And you would come back from the dead. So Jesus himself was doing all these things and all these miracles around the countryside, inside the cities. And then he said to his disciples, Everything that I'm doing right now comes from the Father. This is the Father's plan. So all the disciples and all future disciples, that's all of us today, we no longer are in a mystery. The mystery has been solved. Jesus is the answer. He says, God, He's the provider. He is the creator. Everything that I'm doing comes from God, and this is the plan. Further, if you read further into the Bible, into the book of Revelation, the plan is this. You get a new body, you get a new heaven, and a new earth, and inside that new earth, there will be God. It's no longer an altar, it's no longer a golden cross, but He will be standing there. We'll be standing before Him. We can see Him, we can touch Him, we can hang out with Him. We can go fishing with Him, we can play basketball with Him, we can watch television with Him, we can play video games with Him. Everything that you would normally do with your friend, we can now do with God. As Jesus says at the end, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you. So today, we rejoice that Jesus has chosen us, that God has chosen us, and that one day, with our new bodies, we will be in a new heaven and in a new earth. God bless, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Grace and peace to you from our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And I will reintegrate Tim this morning for sure and say happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. It's so good to have a good mother in your home. It's so good to have a loving mother. And speaking of loving mothers, there's a story about a group of little children. Somebody had gathered them together. They were ranging in age from probably 4 years to 8 years. And they gathered them together to ask them some questions about life. One of the questions that was asked was, what is love? And I'd like to give you a couple of the answers. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and they smell each other. That's probably my favorite. Love is when you kiss all the time and you get tired of kissing, then you sit down and talk a little bit. And since Alma and I just celebrated a 60th wedding anniversary, this other one kind of hits home with us. They said love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends, even after they know each other so well. And that's so true. And a very insightful young 8-year-old answered like this. There are two kinds of love. Our love and God's love. And God made both kinds of them. I like that. God made both kinds of them. What a piece of wisdom that is. As a leader, Jesus had a theme. And that theme was love. When he was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? He quickly answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. When Jesus was preparing his disciples, because he would no longer be with them, he said to them, a new command I give you. love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. I don't think there's any passage in the Bible or scripture that's any clearer than this. Christians are to be known by their love. So it's no surprise that after Peter denied Jesus, Jesus called him back to still follow him. Love is at the center of the Christian's walk with God. There was a man that was asked about his faith journey. They wanted him to tell him a little bit about his faith journey. And he said, my life has been surrounded by loving relationships, the love of his parents, the love of his brother, the love that he experienced with his extended family, and for sure his grandparents. And he experienced love at church, he said. He ended it by saying, no wonder I have never doubted that God loves me. How fortunate it is to grow up in an environment like that, a loving home and a loving church. You know, not everybody is that fortunate. We're kind of the elite sitting here this morning. Some time back, a missionary told how he and some of his friends would go up a river to a village where there was no church. And they went up to this village and they shared gifts and they played games with the people that lived there. And finally, the leader of the village came to this missionary and asked him, tell us why you and your friends have come to our village. And the missionary shared John 3:16 and told the story that's behind that verse. He explained how the story of the love of God in Jesus had become the story of every person on that visiting team. We're here to share this story of God's love with you. Well, one of the older members of the tribe spoke up and he asked, why has no one ever come to share this story before? I am an old man. I have lived most of my life. I never knew there was a God that loved us. All my life, I have felt like the gods were against us. I have spent most of my time trying to fool the gods. Why did you wait so long to bring us that message? Jesus' whole message and ministry was centered around love. How come people don't understand that? Why is it so hard for people to understand the love of Jesus? Well, there are many people in the world who simply don't know how to love. And that's because they have never really been loved themselves. I read a story about a man. His life seemed doomed from the beginning. He'd been born to a dominating, unloving mother. The neighborhood kids had nothing to do with him. He was a little man or a little child, and he was an unattractive child. He failed in school, and eventually he dropped out in spite of the super high IQ he had. He went into the Marines, but the other Marines rejected him. They even laughed at him. He had no discipline, and he didn't know how to respond to authority. He was soon court-martialed and discharged. He moved to another country. He married a young woman who also came from a difficult family situation. She belittled him too. And the two of them moved back to America. And he tried everything to win his new wife's respect, to no avail. And so one day, this man went to work at his job in a book storage building. He took with him a gun. And the rest, as they say, is history. This man was Lee Harvey Oswald, the man who shot President John Kennedy. Many people have scars. Many people have scars. And the only way that these scars are going to ever heal is when someone loves that person. God loves us. Oh, how God loves us. Even if the world rejects us, how God loves us. And we love because God first loved us. That's the good news today. Imagine how enormous God's love must be. Imagine. It's limitless. We're loved by one with the infinite capacity for love. And God's love creates in us the capacity to love others. You know, I know there are many good people in the church who have never experienced unconditional love. Some of us were brought up by well-meaning parents who, without realizing it, put conditions on their love. I love you when you're good, some of them said. I love you when you're obedient. I love you when you make me proud of you. Our parents may not have meant those conditional messages to hold, but they did. And so many of us grew up with a feeling of unworthiness, with the feeling that somehow we didn't quite hold up to the expectations of our parents. And now we're passing that feeling on to our children, maybe even our spouses, or maybe even other people. So I'm going to ask this morning, please don't lift your hand and holler, me, me, me. But can anyone relate to that experience here this morning? There are many, many people who were unable to love, and God helped those people. because they have never been loved unconditionally themselves. They go through life acting out many heartbreaking ways, believing that they are not worthy for someone else's love. So it is so vitally, vitally important that you and I pass on God's love to people who have never known such love before. This is our key word as followers of Jesus. A new command I give you, Christ said, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And here is what Christ's dream is for each one of us. Christ wants to build into us the capacity to love as he loves. Not conditional love that says, I'll love you if you prove worthy of that love, but unconditional love. The kind of love that he has given to us. And we are so thankful that Jesus didn't wait till we were worthy. And we shouldn't wait either until others are worthy to receive that love. When I think about how the Bible assures me that Jesus loves me, I see several pictures. I see Jesus against the advice of his disciples, pick up little children and bless them. I see Jesus stopping a parade to respond to the cries of a blind street beggar. I like this one. I see Jesus coming home with Zacchaeus, little old Zacchaeus, a hated, hated tax collector in Israel. Coming home with him just to show him his God still loves him. I see Jesus responding to the hunger of 5,000 people by telling his disciples, go and feed them. I see Jesus talking and loving to a woman at the well, a very bad woman with a reputation. I see Jesus coming to the rescue of a woman who was about to be stoned to death, saying, let him cast the first stone who is without sin. I see Jesus breaking a loaf of bread just before he goes to the cross, saying, this is my body, which is broken for you. And when I think of the cross, I remember the sweet words of St. Paul as he says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Good friends, good friends, that's unconditional love. Are you and I capable of that kind of love? Are we? If not, let us pray together that God will increase our capacity for love. Let us pray together that God will help us, in spite of our unworthiness, to have the capacity and the ability to pass on that love to others. Bless us, O God, with the innocence of a child. Bless our ears to hear, and bless our hearts to follow, as Jesus leads us in the way of unconditional love. Amen.